Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 14th of April, recording at 9:52 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. And first, let me say that it's good to be back and contributing to the Fuller Money service once again. Now, first, a quick review of what's happened today. Following Wall Street's downward dynamics, which were also replicated in the European markets, we saw weakness in Australia, some of it fairly sharp. For instance, the Japan's Nikkei and the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index both down over 3%, China with quite a sharp drop as well. And the European stock markets having wavered in here today, mostly being down on the day, but did close with modest declines, as did Wall Street, having been down most of the day. But these were, say, quite small declines on Wall Street. More serious was the weakness of financial shares, to which I will return, subject to which I will return. In long-dated government bonds, prices were easier in here today. The U.S. dollar was a bit firmer following that G7, or was it G8, meeting. And the precious metals seesawed a little bit, but the bigger moves were on the downside, and with platinum and palladium leading the way. Most of the agricultural commodities were a bit firmer. Well, the grain and bean complex was a bit firmer. I see that London and sugar are a little bit easier. The industrial metals were mixed, and crude oil was quite strong. Looks like a new high. Traded up to 111.99, and it's close to that level right now. Natural gas also jumped. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, technically, the important development was that stock market indices, or most of the stock market indices in the United States and in developed Europe, some in Asia, had rallied up towards their range highs. Those were the February highs. And they did that in March, you may recall, and then fell back quite sharply. Well, they moved up to those levels in many instances, some indices pushing briefly above their February highs, but they couldn't maintain it. And as I mentioned in my review, Wall Street had that downward dynamic on Friday, signaling to all and sundry that the resistance was not going to give way, at least not just yet. And that really was an invitation, I think, for the bears to come in and reopen some short positions. And I've maintained previously that some of those explosive rallies that we've seen off the lows, such as occurred on the 22nd of January and as occurred in mid-March, were caused primarily by short covering. Now, although certainly there has also been some bargain hunting in here, and understandably so. The overall sell-off, the reduction in leveraged positions, the bear trading that had taken place has driven markets down to some quite depressed levels in many instances, creating the best values that we've seen since, I think probably at least 2004, and in a number of instances since 2003. That's the good news, and that is very good news. The bad news, very good news, I think, for the medium to longer term. The bad news is the financial sector, which I mentioned again in my review, saying that it had been quite weak, has certainly underperformed here the U.S. financial sector. One has to be careful because you have some financial sectors that have been outstandingly firm, such as Taiwan, and some of the other Asian market financial sectors have been relatively steady as well. But the U.S. is the important one in terms of the leash effect that I mention on so many occasions. And the U.S. financial indices are really testing their lows, and they've still got of the last few months, and they still have these progressions of lower rally highs. So that is indeed a concern. The European financial indices or banking indices had outperformed the North American ones or the US ones and had rallied in some instances up through their February highs, but here also they could not maintain those moves. So again, I repeat those downward dynamics signaling that resistance was being encountered near the February highs where those levels were being tested, and the follow-through that we have seen in here today again has opened the door towards some further decline back into the current with to the middle to lower side of the current trading ranges. Now, some markets, as you will have noted, are considerably stronger. I mentioned Taiwan, some of the other Asian markets. Singapore has had quite a reasonable recovery. Thailand has been steady, although quiet overall, but its relative outperformance has certainly been impressive. The Middle Eastern and North African stock markets have really been the stars in recent months. Many of those have been extremely strong. On the other hand, the East European markets have been extremely weak recently, and Owen has reviewed those again in here today. So it's very much a mixed picture overall, but with more markets on the defensive than showing real strength. Among the stronger indices and sectors, I should of course repeat the resources. Those continue to do well also, but overall, Wall Street still remains in this overall downward trend, and it is not yet proven that these lows will hold. I have been of the view that the January and March lows for Wall Street probably represented a sustainable floor. I was strongly influenced in that view by the exceptionally bullish sentiment indicators that I've talked about on many occasions. But I have also said that what's good for the banks is good for the rest of the stock market on many occasions. And with the U.S. and bank shares still so weak, that is really sending a signal that we're not going to get any strong recovery on Wall Street anytime soon. excuse me, not that that was a strong possibility. What I've emphasized here that even though we had seen values return to most of these stock markets, that they were likely to range for some time in a convalescence period, particularly as the financial shares were particularly prone to a lengthy convalescence. That's a theme that has been repeated frequently in these audios and also in comment of the day. But on the short term, markets, having failed at the upper side of the range, are susceptible to some further drift down within those patterns overall. And upward dynamics will be required to reaffirm underlying support. Now, if that happens sooner rather than later, in other words, if we see the next show of strength occurring in the middle of the ranges or perhaps higher, that will be quite a favorable development overall. On the other hand, if we see the lows pressured and the indices with heavy weightings of financial shares, these would include markets such as Ireland, Switzerland would be another one. If they see those lows actually taken out, if the financial shares remain weak generally, then that will be a further concern. Now, how to actually play it overall? Well, my view is that, as I think you may recall, is that we were going to be in for another choppy quarter, the second quarter of this year. That's all part of the convalescence process, but that there again there was real value in these markets. That doesn't mean that they have to perform anytime soon. On the negative side, we have further deleveraging that's taking place. By chance, I was at a dinner party on Saturday night, and it was quite a large dinner party, and there were four quite senior investment managers at that party. These are people I had not met previously, but I was astonished at how bearish they were. Now, do we take that as a sign that things are going to end badly here? Well, they were in the sort of 40-something age band, and there had certainly been, well, I didn't query on this, but I think it's all but inevitable. There had been some serious drawdowns in the funds that they had under management, and that I think is certainly going to color one's views overall. My feeling was that they were much too bearish overall, but the key point here is that there isn't any reason that I can see as to why stock markets should rally very strongly, other than technical rebounds off lows, help with the help of short covering. In other words, there isn't any reason why most of these stock markets should commence sustainable uptrends anytime soon. That's not a reason to be overly gloomy. I don't think it's a reason to sell, certainly not for long-term investors. Some traders may wish to chance their hand with short positions. I'm less inclined to do that this time around myself, because I think there is too much value around today. But again, the lead from financial shares is indifferent to negative more often than not. We're still getting, as I just mentioned, that important point about the deleveraging taking place. Some people are selling positions just because they're tired of them underperforming or not performing. And I think where you see real long-term value, I think that would be a mistake. For instance, so I'm just going to take a little sip of water. For instance, one of the treats on getting back and accessing the site, which I was not checking during my week away, was to read Ian Little's and Bruce Albrecht's Global Thematic Investing report, which Owen had posted Monday a week ago. It's a fabulous letter. They don't produce it very often, but there are plenty of pearls in there, which I trust you've had a chance to read yourself. Now, they were talking about the first half of the letter, or first third of the letter, is devoted to the Middle Eastern and North African stock markets, which I said earlier in this broadcast have been very much the in-form sector in recent weeks. I think they've probably been even stronger than some of these resources and food shares, although that's debatable. Don't hold me to that. But certainly, as a regional sector is concerned, the Middle Eastern and North African stock markets have outperformed in recent months. Now, what Ian Little had mentioned in his write-up was that those markets, or perhaps it was the advisors to that fund, but it made the point that I think it was in 2005, following a bubble peak in Saudi Arabia, that those stock markets fell by around 50%. I think that must have been an average comparison overall. And that set the stage for the recoveries and strong performances that we have seen for some months now. Now, the reason I mention that is because while they remain very much an in-form sector, that it's also becoming a crowded trade, and that increases the risks. Whereas we look around and we can see the China A-share market. Now, that's not something that is available to most investors, but most of the China-related markets have taken a very big hit, as you know. But the China A-share and Shanghai Composite Index, they have fallen approximately or nearly 50% overall. That makes them quite interesting, in my view. That doesn't mean that they can't overshoot, which is always a possibility, especially when China is still showing its intention to fight the inflationary pressures. But which market sector will see the better gains? A high-growth region that is performing right now, or a high-growth regional market which is underperforming right now? And my point being that just as the 50% or more corrections that set the stage for the strong recoveries in the Middle Eastern to North African the stock markets, which we have been seeing, that a similar sized correction is setting the stage for quite a substantial recovery in China and some of these other quite depressed stock markets. Although I have to say, as of today, I do not see the technical evidence that China has bottomed, but it's certainly at an interesting level. And I noticed in some of the correspondence, where Owen was bravely and publicly discussing where he might invest his new daughter Fiona's that what is it, that birth aid or gift aid money that he had mentioned. Mrs. Fuller and I are wondering what to do with the latest ISA money that's become available as of the 6th of April. And again, I'm looking at some of these Fuller money themes that have been pushed well down. I'll mention more on that in future comments of the day and audios. Now, another factor that is certainly going to be important is liquidity. There is a fair amount of liquidity sloshing around the system that's been injected by the central banks. Mind you, they needed to because of the meltdown that had taken place in some of these leveraged fund positions overall. But that liquidity is going to go somewhere. What is lacking is the animal spirits in the U.S. stock market, in much of Asia right now, and in the European stock markets right now. And I think wouldn't be surprised to see this sort of slough continue for a few more months. But again, as I've said before, I think that that will most likely set the stage for quite a reasonable recovery. What about these long-dated government bonds? Again, they'll take their cue from stock markets. When we next see the US and most other stock market indices in overall upward trends, that will be, I think, quite bearish for the long-dated government bonds, because the flight to so-called quality, it's not quality in my view, because the real yields are pathetically low in the long-dated government bonds in most instances, and certainly as far as the US Treasuries are concerned. But when the stock markets are next in overall upward trends, and there are too many of them are currently in overall downward trends, albeit many of those downward trends have lost momentum in recent months. But recovering stock markets will be bearish for those long-dated government bonds. Investors will move out of fixed interest and back into equities in some numbers, and for the better opportunities, and expectations or concerns will focus on inflation rather than the economic slowdown, which has driven people towards the fixed interest sector. In terms of currencies, I wouldn't be at all surprised if the dollar ranged for a little while longer, but I find it hard to envisage any kind of big recovery at this time. As I've mentioned before, the dollar doesn't yield enough. The US will have to print too many additional dollars on top of all those that it's been printing actively in recent years. And everybody knows that the US really needs a weak currency, and that's been a contributing factor to the one really good US economic story in the last year, and that's the performance of some, not all, but some of the multinational companies. Now, in terms of commodities, again, I maintain that this is a secular bull market overall, but we did see those accelerating trends. That's always a danger sign, and I am very much of the view that many of these foods, not all of them, but a sufficient number, are in corrective phases to make the agricultural sector a bit of a risky trade in the short term during these current choppy market conditions where we are still seeing some deleveraging. I think that applies to precious metals overall, although, again, I repeat that the sector remains in a secular bull market overall. One of the firmest of the industrial commodities right now is crude oil, and I'd give the upside the benefit of the doubt until or unless we see that $100 level for the West Texas crude taken out for more than a day or two. As you know, it was tested last month, briefly moved below the $100 level, and then bounced back up to new high ground. So, I think that's covered most of the bases here for another day. And as I say, it's good to be back, and I look forward to commenting on many more market developments during the rest of the week. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.